بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم وبه نستعين الله الموفق والمعين والصلاة على محمد وآله الطاهرين اللهم صل على محمد. السلام عليكم ورحمة الله جميعا. My topic is about one of the traditional schools in Iran in the Safavid and Qajar period. I'm not very much into history, to be honest with you. Probably this is the only research I've done about historical issues. One of the modules I'm teaching at the college is as a reaction to the philosophy and fiqh of the period, in the period of Qajari and Safavi. The main point in the Safavi era in Iran was that Qazvin, first of all, was the capital. Scholars from different countries, specifically Arabic countries, moved to Qazvin after the Ottoman Empire. And then we had the uprising of Muhammad Amin Astarabadi with his famous book known as Al-Fawaid Al-Madaniya, the famous Akhbari scholar. And then we had the coup of Shah Abbas and the closure of philosophical schools. So the result of all these issues in Qazvin at that day was the closure of philosophical schools, cessation of Ijtihad, the gate of Ijtihad, and the absolute, I can say absolute, domination of Akhbarism with the leadership of Muhammad Amin Astarabadi. So this was the situation of fiqh in the Qazvin, the capital of Iran at that time. Things changed in the Qajar period. Maybe the most important event in the Qajar was, in terms of the fiqhi issues in Iran, was the appearance of Mullah Muhammad Malaike and his debate with Sheikh Yusuf Bahrani. Sheikh Yusuf Bahrani, one of the scholars of Akhbariyun, Akhbariya, came to Qazvin, welcomed warmly, and then the family of Baraghan, at that time they were known as Taliqani family. The Taliqani family, specifically Mullah Muhammad Malaike, the head of the Taliqani or Baraghani families, debated and had several meetings, and in the last meeting, he could manage to defeat and convince Sheikh Yusuf Bahrani. What happened? Sheikh Yusuf Bahrani turned into very much moderate Akhbari, and the conflicts and controversies spread among people in the vicinities in the street of Qazvin, and as a result of it, Fath Ali Shah banished the Muhammad Malaike to Baraghan, and Sheikh Yusuf Bahrani went to Karbala. But that was a main point, a turning point in the history of fiqh in Iran at the Qajar period. From that moment on, we have the openness of the gate of Ijtihad, and that is the 13th century of Islamic calendar, lunar calendar. Throughout this century, the influential Ijtihadi jurisprudence flourished, and that was done by two schools. One, the school of Wahid Behbahani in Karbala, students of Wahid Behbahani, like for example Kashif al-Ghata, Sheikh Jafar Kabi, Kashif al-Ghata, like for Sayyid Mahdi Mirza Shahristani and others, and the scholars of Baraghan in Qazvin. These two schools helped the Ijtihadi fiqh to be flourished and promoted throughout the 13th century. Among the famous students of Wahid Behbahani was Mullah Muhammad Malaike, the person who defeated Sheikh Yusuf Bahrani, and his three famous sons, Shahid Salis, Mullah Muhammad Saleh Baraghani, the founder of this school, and their younger brother, Mullah Ali Baraghani. The Baraghani family, where is Baraghan? Baraghan is a place, is a village in Iran between Karaj and Hashtgard. It's about 30 miles away from the capital, Tehran. And this family is known as an erudite family. They were living from the 11th, according to Sayyid Hassan Amin in Ayan Shia, from the 10th century up to now. Probably the most important figure of the Baraghanis now passed away about 7 months before. That was Abdul Hussein Shahidi Salehi, was the great-great-grandson of Mullah Muhammad Saleh Baraghani, the founder of the school, who passed away. And probably the most comprehensive studies about the whole Baraghani family was done by him. Mullah Muhammad's Malaika was the great grandson of Mullah Muhammad Kadhim. Mullah Muhammad Kadhim was the head of the Baraghanis in the Safavid era, probably before that. And this is a family tree of the Baraghanis. You see here Mullah Muhammad Kadhim, who died towards the end of 11th century. And he had three sons, Muhammad Ja'far, Muhammad Mu'min, and Khaja Nawab. Muhammad Taqi was the son of Muhammad Ja'far, and Muhammad Taqi is the father of Mullah Muhammad Malaika and Mahsharaf Taliqani. These two brothers and sisters were among, this is the founder of the school, and this is one of the prominent teachers of the school, Mahsharaf Taliqani, who used to work in the palace of Fateh Ali Shah as well. So Muhammad Malaika has got four sons. Three of them are very famous: Mullah Muhammad Saleh, the founder of the school; Mullah Ali Baraghani, the younger one, who had some inclinations towards Shaykhism as well; and Shaheed Thalith, Muhammad Taqi Baraghani. Sheikh Agha is not mentioned in the biographical sources that much. So we're going to have a look at the life of Muhammad Saleh, the founder of the school, his five daughters who were prominent teachers of the school, his four sons. I've mentioned only three of them here. He had four sons. So this knowledgeable, erudite family had got very important impact on fiqh and philosophy in the Qajar period. Also, I would mention some of the children of Shaheed Salis. This is a picture of Baraghan, should have been taken recently. And again, two more pictures from Baraghan. And Mullah Muhammad Saleh, and how he could manage to found to build the school. He born in Baraghan in 1167 after Hijra, and died in Karbala in 1271. So he lived for about 104 years. It's said that he died when he was praying very close to the shrine of Imam Hussein, and he was buried in one of the holes in the shrine of Imam Hussein. Studied in different places in Iran, Baraghan with his father. Studied in Qazwin with Mullah Ali Jangari Mazandarani. In Isfahan, he did philosophy with Agha Muhammad Bilabadi and Mullah Ali Nuri. Mullah Ali Nuri was one of the, probably the most famous scholar in philosophy at that time. In Karbala with Wahid Behbahani and Sayyid Mirza Mahdi Shahristani and Sayyid Ali Tabatabai Hairi. In Qom with Mirza Abul Qasim Al-Qummi. In Najaf with Mahdi Bahrul Ulum, Sayyid Mahdi Bahrul Ulum, and Sheikh Ja'far Kabir, known as Kashif Al-Qata. He's left behind a very valuable legacy, over 300 books and treaties and annotations. Agha Buzurg Tahrani in Al-Dhariya writes that we do have only few scholars who have written more than one commentary of the Qur'an. Muhammad Saleh Baraghani was the one who wrote three commentaries on the Qur'an. Probably the most well-known of his works is Al-Musu' Al-Baraghani fi Fiqh al-Shia. This is one of the things which have been published by the person I mentioned, Abdul Hussein Shahidi Baraghani, who died about 7 months back. So I've chosen very important points of his life and the events which led to the establishment of this school. He returned to Iran. He was in between Iran and Karbala, going and coming back. He returned to Iran at the age of 52. And was in Tehran delivering lectures, issuing fatwa, and emerging as a leader. At that time, Iran's northern provinces were occupied by Russians. Also, there was a rivalry over Iran between France and the UK. So as a result of all these issues, governmental, political issues, Sheikh Mohammad Saleh issued a statement declaring that any war, truce, or peace agreement with foreign governments required permission of jurists. Fateh Ali Shah invited scholars. There were two groups of scholars, a group who were defending Muhammad Saleh and the opposite group. He invited the scholars, and the scholars with Muhammad Saleh were the majority, and they win the debate. As a result of it, Fateh Ali Shah got very upset and banished Muhammad Saleh Baraghani and his two brothers, Shaheed Thalith and Mullah Ali Baraghani, to Iraq. This was the first time that the idea of Wilayatul Faqih, the permission of jurists in the agreements and peace and war issues, was being brought in public arena in the light. by a jurist. So he went to Iraq, Muhammad Saleh, and he was in Iraq, in Najaf, in Karbala, had his own teaching chair there. Also, he had very close relationship with Kashif al-Ghata. Kashif al-Ghata wanted, due to his illness, wanted to go back to Iran. He preferred to reside in Baraghan, the same village of the Baraghanis. He took them, Kashif al-Ghata, took these brothers, Baraghanis, with himself and went to Iran and interceded them with the king. The king accepted this intercession of Kashif al-Ghata, but said on the condition that they shouldn't live in Tehran. They should be away from Tehran. So Muhammad Saleh went to Qazwin and he established the school of, at the early days of his stay in Qazwin, he established Salihiyya. Later on, he built two more floors and again a mosque next to it and a library. The final point that he finished the library was 1832. That was when the whole building with the mosque and library finished. This is one picture of Salihiyya school. This school was the biggest, still is the biggest school of Qazwin. Qazwin has got lots of schools, most of them traditional, even before that one, like for example, Nawab, others, but this is being the largest one. So this is some pictures from different angles of the school. And this is the mosque, Salihiyya Mosque. And of course, that one, these are the rooms, the hujurat of the school. It's not the mosque. Fine. Now, my final point is the features and legacy of the school. I've chosen five main points. One is about the education of women. Secondly, benefiting from the most competent teachers of intellectual and transmitted ulum aqliya wa naqliya. And comprehensive educational approach, training influential and historical figures, addressing the theological and cultural challenges of the time. Education of women. We've got a good record of educated women in the seminary of Hausa from the time of the Imams up to now, and the names of them have been mentioned in books like A'lamun Nisa, like Riyahun al-Sharia, like Muhaddithat al-Shia. But most of them were being educated individually by the husband or by the relatives. Salihiyya was the first school who offered an opportunity for the ladies to be engaged in the education in different levels, from the preliminaries, muqaddamat, up to the sutuh and the higher levels, which is known as durusul kharij. When a lecture at the advanced level kharij was being run, a curtain would be separating the males from the women, from the females. Most of the women related to Baraghani family, like the wife of Muhammad Saleh and the wife of the other brothers, aunts, daughters, nephews, granddaughters, grandsons, they studied and they taught in that school. And some sources suggest that there was a specific section for the family of Baraghani to facilitate their own education. Just to name some of them, for example, Amina Khanum Qazwini was the wife of Muhammad Saleh Baraghani. She was the daughter of well-known scholar Muhammad Ali Qazwini and acquainted with her brother Sheikh Abdul Wahhab Qazwini, and her husband studied transcendental philosophy with Mullah Agha Hakimi Qazwini, attained ijtihad, became women's jurisprudential authority and prayer leader at Salihiyya school, and Muhammad Saleh used to commend her and used to advise all other students to follow her. Umm Kulthum Rughani Qazwini, the wife of well-known scholar Sheikh Ibrahim Zanjani, and again she was a mujtahida and a muhaditha of, and she was teaching at that school, and she had four sons. All of them are the scholars are of Imamiyya. The daughter of Shaheed Thalith, Umm Kulthum Baraghani, and five daughters of the founder of the school, Muhammad Saleh Baraghani: Fatima, Rubaba, Khadija, Nargis, Sahra. The daughters of Muhammad Saleh. So the issue is that all of them, the father, Muhammad Saleh, the wife, the mother, the sister, the aunt, and all daughters and all sons, they were memorizers of the Quran, her father Quran. In the biography we have all of them were memorizers of the Quran. They were mujtahidas mostly in the biography of all of them I've included in my paper. Most of them attained ijtihad, they were muhaddithat, famous lecturers, poet. Some of them have left some poetries, and theologians and memorizers of the Quran. They were trained by their father, uncle, Shaheed Thalith, and another uncle, Ali Baraghani, mysticism, and also Fatima Qurratul Ayn. Fatima Qurratul Ayn, her name was Fatima apparently, then sometimes she's called Tahira Qurratul Ayn. Her title was Qurratul Ayn or Zarrin Taj. These are the titles which later given to her. Some scholars say by the father, or some they say by the Sheikhiyya, and she is one of the challenging figures in the history of Iran. Apparently, she had tendency towards Sheikhiyya and Sheikh Ahmad Ahsai, and then she separated her path from the mainstream conduct of her family. Yeah, this is mainstream. The second feature of the Salihiyya was benefiting from most qualified teachers. Many teachers like Sheikh Muhammad Saleh himself, his brothers, Mullah Hakami Qazwini, in some biographical works we have that he was the Sadruddin of the Mullah Sadra Sadruddin of his own time, along with Mullah Ali Baraghani. And towards the end of his life, Mullah Ali Baraghani in Isfahan used to direct his own students to Qazwin to go to the lessons of Mullah Agha Hassan Qazwini, Mullah Yusuf Qazwini, Mah Sharaf Talaqani, and grandchildren of Baraghani family. Another point about the teachers is that other teachers were coming to teach and to be educated. So it was one of the best places at that time for teacher training courses to become qualified teachers in fiqh and philosophy. This is again the family tree of the Baraghani family, who were all scholars of the Salihiyya at that time and later, of course, from this point. So we have Mullah Muhammad Kazim, that's before the establishment of the school, but from here downwards, all of them were the scholars and teachers of Baraghani. Comprehensive educational approach. One of the unique features of the school was comprehensive, holistic approach to education. So they did Persian literature, Arabic literature, jurisprudence, usul al-fiqh, Quranic exegesis, philosophy, theology, mysticism, medicine, as well. Part of the college was medicine. And a special attention was given to philosophy. Sometimes the school is referred to as the philosophical school of Qazwin. Instead of Salihiyya, in some papers it's been mentioned philosophical schools of Qazwin. And also, it's not only theoretical, in practice, the teachers were attentive and vigilant towards political, social aspects of Muslims. For instance, all students, scholars, clerics were given military education and training and took part in the battle between Iran and Russia, the second one, in 1242, after the fatwa of Sayyid Muhammad Mujahid. He himself and Shahid Salis and all of them took part in that battle. Training influential and historical figures. How much time do you have?
1 minute.
I'm very close to finish it. Okay. Training influential and historical figures. It is mentioned that Mirza Shirazi, the first one, Alawwal, studied there. Sayyid Jamaluddin Asadabadi studied, Mirza Kuchi Khan Jangali, and Nasim Shamal Ashrafuddin, as we know as Nasim Shamal, and all those, the daughters, grandchildren. These were among the influential and historical figures of that school. Of course, with respect to Mirza Shirazi, I'm slightly skeptical. I did find in some sources, but when you go and read the biography of Mirza Shirazi, you don't find anything about his education in Salihin. But in some of the sources, it's mentioned he studied in Qazwin as well. And they had great role in presenting a holistic approach to religion and religious studies and Islamic revivalism and fighting against unjust rulers and theological and cultural deviations of that time. For example, Sayyid Jamaluddin Asadabadi studied 5 years in two stages, studied 5 years in that school. And the reflection of his study in Qazwin, which built the foundation of his theological, philosophical, and intellectual mentality and thought, helped him to help the Sunni scholars in Egypt to open again, to open the gate of ijtihad and philosophical thinking and religious awakening and religious rationality to other countries. And the final one, addressing the theological and cultural challenges of the time, the 13th century, that century was the century of religious divisions and deviations and the advent of new denominations. For example, in the Sunni world, we had the rise of Wahhabism. In the Shi'i world, we had the appearance of Shaykhism, which was based on the thought of Sheikh Ahmad Ahsaib. And the school and the teachers, Sayyid Jamal, Shahid Salis, others, had very prominent role in fighting against the deviations from the mainstream path of the Shi'ism at that time. That's the final slide, which is about the Shaykhiyya, and again, which is about Salihiyya against Shaykhism. During his journey to Iran, Sheikh Ahmad Ahsaib, the founder of Shaykhism, was welcomed in different cities. The king of Iran also honored him. Ahsaib went to Qazwin and taught his own ideology and philosophy. Like other Shia centers, Qazwin was divided into two parts, Mutasharra and Shaykhiyya. And the head of the Mutasharra was the Baraghani family. Hundreds of letters were sent to Baraghani family asking them to take an action against the Shaykhiyya. Finally, Shahid Thales was asked to debate with Sheikh Ahmad Ahsai on behalf of all scholars of Mutasharra, and he could defeat and convince Sheikh Ahmad Ahsai. But when Sheikh Ahmad Ahsai was insisting on his own ideas, he issued the fatwa of his takfir, excommunicated Ahsai, and this fatwa of him is followed by the majority of Imamiyya scholars from that time up to now. Of course, it is said that Mullah Ali Baraghani, the younger brother of Shahid Salis, because he was a bit inclined towards Shaykhiyya, he tried to mediate between his older brother Shahid Salis and Ahsai. Also, it's reported that he told Sheikh Ahmad Ahsai to write a, what they call it, Tawbanama, a confession letter. He did, Ahmad Ahsai, but it was fruitless. So this was the famous features of the Salihiyya and its legacy, which left behind. Thank you very much. I hope you enjoyed it.